Tollway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Chof Alef Teves, 5th of January, Rav Elchanan Goldblatt Shlita, Parsha theme. Today's Tollway, well, this week's Tollway Shurim have been sponsored by Family Blachman, Lili Nishmas, Reb Moshe David, Ben Rav Avraham Chanoch Waldman, whose Yotzeit is today.
What I propose to do is spend a couple of minutes talking about the Mialadus, the midwives, and then to talk about the selection of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then to turn to a Sicha of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz on the subject of Osher Chaim, the value of life. So let's start with the Mialadus. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim la Mialadus uivrios, the king of Egypt said to the Jewish midwives, Asher Shem Rachas Shifro v'Shem Hashem Yispua, the name of one was Shifron, the name of the other was Pua. These names don't occur anywhere else. So who were they? So everybody, I assume, knows the Rashi. Rashi who says they were Yocheved and Miriam. Some people may know the Gemara in Sotah. The Gemara in Sotah quotes a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar, one said, Isha Ovita, a woman, her daughter. The Chad Omar and the other said, Kalo v'chamosa, it was the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law. Isha Vito means, as Rashi says, Yecheved and Miriam. Kala v'chamosa means Yecheved and Elisheva who later married Aaron. So that's two days in Chazal. I suspect that very few people will know the brilliant piece of Bekias of the Torah Tamima, who writes in a footnote to have a look at a Yalkut Shimoni and Sefer Yoshua, which I've printed for you here. Yesh Noshim Chasidos Gioros. There are a number of Noshim Chasidos who were not born Jewish, and chose to become Geirim. Who were they? Hagar, that's the Shifchon Mitzris, whom Sora introduced to Avram. Osnas, that's the wife of Yosef. Zipporah, that's the wife of Moshe. Shifra and Puah. So according to this Chazal, Shifra and Puah were two Egyptian women who were Mialados and chose to become Geirus. The list continues with Bisya, the daughter of Paro, Rochav, the lady who's the heroine of the story of the Battle of Jericho, and Rus, and Yoel, Eishes Chever Akein. Whoever the Mialados were, whether they were, as Rashi learns, Yecheved and Miriam, or the other day in the Gemara, Yecheved and Elisheva, or the Yalkut Shimoni in Yoshua, women who were not born Jewish, they were faced with a very difficult practical problem. The difficult practical problem which they face is that Melech Mitzrayim says to kill the children. Not doing what Melech Mitzrayim says is really very risky. It's the sort of thing for which you tend to be executed. And if you remember, later in the story, the king of Mitzrayim asked them, why have you not been doing what you were told? On the other hand, Melech Malchei Hamelochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says not to kill the children. And not doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is perhaps even more risky, because you might lose not only Olam Hazeh, but even Olam Haba. This is the problem which any civil servant given an immoral instruction by his minister faces. What should they have done? So the Chofetz Chaim has a brilliant suggestion. Resign. If they resign, if they cease being Mialados, they won't have any problem. The contradiction between the instructions of the King of Egypt and the instructions of the King of Kings will no longer bother them. Why didn't they do it? So the Chofetz Chaim says, because what will happen if they do resign? If they resign, other midwives will be appointed. And the other midwives will murder the babies. So they have a responsibility for these children, and despite the fact that fulfilling their responsibility to keep these children alive against the instructions of the government risks their lives, they are not prepared to put aside their responsibility. Achrayus, a responsibility which you have, you can't put on one side. And that's the Chofetz Chaim, and I think it's poshut pshat in the Psukim. Let's move on to the appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody knows the Chazal, I've printed it up for you here, the Chazal which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests people before he appoints them as leaders. He tested David HaMelech, he tested Moshe Rabbeinu. How did he test them? He tested them as shepherds. If you have a look, the Lashon of the Medrash is actually quite careful. The way he tested David HaMelech was that David HaMelech was not Megadol Behema Dakot in Eretz Yisrael. It's not about how he treated the sheep. It's about how careful he was about halachas ben odin chaveira. And likewise, Moshe Rabbeinu, this medrash does not talk about how he took care of this, that, or the other lamb. It talks about he took them achara midbar lo tzion min hagezel. It talks about ben odin chaveira. But in the meantime, this chazal says HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested them with sheep, and he said, if you dealt well with the sheep, you can deal with my sheep. I've always had a problem with this medrash. I'm not Zofa yet to understand it. Because in my experience, shepherds do not take care of the flock for altruistic reasons. Why does a shepherd look after the flock? The first thing he wants is milk. I once had reason to discuss with Rav Feldman the question of whether there's a din cholavachim on sheep's milk and goat's milk. The detail doesn't matter anymore, and he said to me that his understanding is there's no cow's milk anywhere in Shas. All the milk they were talking about was sheep's milk and goat's milk. Anyway, the shepherd, if it's his own flock, and for those who have the sort of background that we're not supposed to have these days, I remember some lines in the Latin poem Ovid about milk foaming from the sheep. Perhaps that won't go on the recording, who knows. Anyway, so the first thing the shepherd does is takes the milk. Next thing he does is fleeces them. I'm not sure we want Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech to fleece Klal Yisrael. And after that, when they're getting old, he kills them and eats them. So I've always found it slightly difficult to understand this chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests our leaders by making them shepherds. I do note, by the way, that in the chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech were not shepherding their own flock. David HaMelech is shepherding his father's flock, the flock of Yishai. And Moshe Rabbeinu is shepherding his father-in-law's flock, the flock of Yisrael. And that is exactly right with the Medrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you may shepherd my flock. We're not talking about shepherds who look after their own flock. We're talking about shepherds who look after somebody else's. And perhaps that reduces the level of my misunderstanding. Now, Ofor Ani Tachas Ragli Chazal, if Chazal say the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed was because he was a shepherd who was makpid on Gezel, then I accept that. But as I look at the psukim, I would myself have seen something slightly different, which is this. Those of us who have worked or do work in schools, at least when they're open, will be aware that for the last however many years, the schools quite rightly have been instructed to do whatever they can to stop bullying. And one of the slogans was, don't be a bystander. You tell the children, if you see something wrong going on, don't be a bystander. Tell the teachers, tell the head teacher, unless, of course, the bullying is being done not by the children, but by the adults, which one hopes in our and in all schools will never happen. But in the meantime, don't be a bystander. Let's get back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Pasuk says, Vayihi bayomim ahem, it was in those days, Vayidal Moshe grew up. Vayetzeh lechov, he went out to his brothers. This Egyptian princelet went out to see what was happening with Klal Yisrael. By Yara the Sivlo Som, Rashi says he set his mind to what was happening to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, ab initio, though it's not yet his responsibility, is interested in what's happening with Klal Yisrael, and we see three events. The first is he saw Ish Mitzri Make Ish Ivri Me Echov. He saw an Egyptian hitting a Jew. This is none of his business. If he were, like me, an English gentleman, he'd walk past on the other side of the road pretending he hadn't noticed. Moshe can't be a bystander. He sees something wrong taking place. He sees an Egyptian bullying, hitting a Jew. He has to interfere. He can't stop himself. At the risk of his life, by the way, because Paro does not approve of killing Egyptians, as we find out later in the story. Second event. Next day, he finds two people, Chazal tell us Dos and Aviram, squabbling. It's none of his business. It really is none of his business. Two people want to have an argument, let them have an argument. Lomo sake reecho. Moshe has to interfere. He cannot walk by on the other side of the street. He cannot be a bystander. And he realizes that they are informing the government about the fact that he killed an Egyptian, and he runs away to Midian. Third event, he sees the shepherds bullying the shepherdesses. He sees a crowd of Goyesha shepherds bullying a crowd of Goyesha shepherdesses, and he interferes. What do I see in the psukim about Moshe Rabbeinu? I see that Moshe Rabbeinu is somebody who cannot walk by on the other side of the street. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot tolerate seeing something wicked, seeing something unfair, seeing someone, anyone, not just a Goy hitting a Jew, not just two Jews arguing. He cannot even tolerate a crowd of non-Jewish men bullying a crowd of non-Jewish women. Now, the midwives cannot simply dispose of the responsibility for the children which they already have. Moshe Rabbeinu takes on any responsibility that he sees to protect other people from things which are wicked, unfair, or wrong. Now, as I say, I'm dust under the feet of Chazal. Chazal say he was tested with the flock, and I'm sure that's true, that's Chazal. I see in the Psukim that it is in the nature of Moshe, whether it's his personality or his midas or his upbringing, I can't tell you, but it's in the nature of Moshe that he cannot be a bystander. He cannot walk by on the other side of the street. Whenever he sees anything wrong, he has to stand up for Hashkelekim Yevakesh Nirdov. Okay, so much for me. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a sicha in this week's parasha about the subject of Osher HaChaim. If you remember, the Pasuk says that Paro said, Hova nischakem olo, let us deal cleverly with Bnei Yisrael. Who was he speaking to? So the famous Chazal, Amar Reb Chiya bar Rabbe, Amar Rabbi Simoi, Shlosha hoyu ba'osa etza, there were three people whom he consulted. The three people whom he consulted were Bilam, and Eov, and Yisro. Bilam, Yoatz, Bilam said, yeah, persecute the Jews, good idea, go ahead. Eov was a bystander. By contrast with Moshe Rabbeinu, Eov shosa, Eov said nothing. And Yisro would have absolutely nothing to do with this. Yisro borach, Yisro ran away. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we believe, fundamental Yisod, deals with people midot k'neged midot. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with Bilam, She Yoatz, who advised in favor of persecuting the Jews? What did he do in Eov, who was a bystander, who said nothing? What did he do with Yisro, who Sheborach, who ran away? Says the Gemara, Bilam She Yoatz, Ne'erag, Bilam, who encouraged Paro, he was killed, which we find towards the end of Sefer B'Midbar in Parshas Matthew's Masik. Eov She Shosak, Ne'edon B'Yisurim, Eov, who kept quiet, who was a bystander, he gets Yisurei Eov, the proverbial sufferings of Job. Yisro Sheborach, Zochu Mibnei Bonov, She Yoshu B'Lishkas Hagozis, Yisro, who ran away, who would have nothing to do with this, he wouldn't even be silent. Yisro has descendants who are in the Sanhedrin in Lishkas Hagozis. So, Reb Chaim pointed out that if you ask, who did the greater Avera? Eov or Bilam? Clearly Bilam. Eov was only quiet. Yeah, he didn't stand up, the man Hashem, but he didn't encourage either. Bilam encouraged. It follows, therefore, that which of the two should have the greater punishment? Bilam. Wait a minute. Eov has Yisurei Eov. Bilam had no Yisurei, and he just died. Said Reb Chaim, the clear inference is that life with Yisurei Eov is still better than death without them. If it's the case that Eov, who did nothing, gets Yisurei Eov, and Bilam, who encouraged Paro to persecute the Jews, gets Misa, it follows that Chaim with Yisurei Eov is better than Misa without Yisurei Eov. Osher HaChaim, that's what life is worth. The Pasuk says, Ma Yisonen Odom Chai Gever Al Chata'ov, why should a living man complain, a strong person, for what he's missing? There's a Rashi in Kiddushin. Rashi in Kiddushin, when the Gemara there is discussing a machlokes pshat in this pasuk, says the following: Lomo yisonen odom chai. Why should a living man complain? Lomo yisraim odom. Why should a person complain? Al akoras habuz olav, about the things which happened to him. Acha kol chesed shani ose imo, after all the chesed which I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do with him. Shonosati lo chayim. I've given him life, I haven't brought on him death. Says Reb Chaim, that's pshat in what's going on here. You cannot complain about the things which happened to you. You cannot even complain about Yisurei Eov after the chesed HaGodol HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, that he's given us life. Yaser Yisrani Yo V'lamovis Lonus Ononi. Even if Hashem gives me Yisurim, he doesn't give me death. And someone who doesn't understand this, someone who doesn't understand that we see from Bilam and Eov, that life with Yisurei Eov, Chas V'Shalom, is better than death without them. Someone who doesn't understand, my Yisonen Odom Chai, the Chesed Shani Ose Imoshen Osati Lo Chayim, Odom Bikor, someone who has this Yokor, this enormously precious gift, below Yovin and doesn't understand it. Nimshal kabahemos nidmu, he doesn't have human understanding. He's no more than a behemoth, Nebuch. So, someone who doesn't understand the value of life, Someone who doesn't understand what we see from this Chazal about Iyov and Bilom, what we see from this Rashi in Kiddushin, someone who to some extent doesn't understand the value of life, is in danger of losing it. It's very striking that whenever people are brought in front of Paro, we're told their ages. I have my own theories about this, which either are or aren't right. I noticed that when Yosef is brought in front of Paro, the Pasuk says he was 30. When Yaakov Avinu, which is the Pesukim we're about to learn, is brought in front of Paro, his age is asked. When Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen come in front of Paro, the Pasuk says Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 83. I tend to think, I've mentioned civil servants, that what happened is that whenever you come to court, the civil servants say name, age, NHS number, or whatever it is. Rav Shimon Schwab has Torah, by the way, on why it matters that Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 83. I wasn't planning to say this. Dianlopian told me that his grandfather said, if something falls into your head in the middle of a drosha, say it, it's a shtickler baskel. So we'll rely on rebellion. Rav Shimon Schwab points out, he has a chazal, that Miriam was named at the time of Vayimoraru es Chayeim, that's why Miriam. Aaron was born at, well, Aaron is named after, it has to do with Loshen Heroyim. It has to do at the time when Paro has made a decree that the baby children should be killed, and Aaron, and they aren't. And Moshe, we know, it's the Kimin Amayim Ashisiu. So, Rav Shimon Schwab says that the point of telling the ages of Moshe and Aaron at the moment when they stand in front of Paro is this. The point is that Paro made a decree that the midwives should kill the babies, and here is Aaron HaKohen 83 years later as evidence that Gezeris Melochim doesn't matter, it's Gezeris HaKadosh Baruch Hu that matters. Moshe was born at the time when the instructions were that all children should be thrown into the Nile. Machlok is Rashi in the Targum, whether only Jewish children or also Egyptian children, but anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu was born at the time when the Gezeirah of Paro is that all the children should be thrown in the Nile, and here he is 80 years later, evidence that Gezeirah's Paro doesn't matter, Gezeirah's of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point of the 80 and the 83 is to tell us that it really doesn't matter what the king of Egypt says, it's the Gezeirah's of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the point that's being made. Anyway, I've got off what I need to get to, which is this. We learned from the Chazal about Bilam and about Iyov, and from the Rashi in Kiddushin, that life, even with Yisurei Iyov, is still a chesed, and it's better to have life with Yisurei Iyov than mis without them. Anyway, what happens if you're not aware of that? So when Yaakov was brought in front of Paro, the Psukim say, Vayomer Paro el Yaakov, Paro said to Yaakov, Kamo yemeshnei chayecho, how old are you? Vayomer Yaakov el Paro, and Yaakov said to Paro, yemeshnei mugurai, the days of the years of my wandering, Shloshimu ma'as shono, they're 130 years. Ma'at v'ro'im, few and evil. Hoyu yamei shenei chayai, were the days of the years of my life. V'lo hisigu, and they did not reach. Yamei shenei chayai avusai, the days of the years of the lives of my forefathers. Bimei migurehem, when they were wandering. There's a Das Kainim. Das Kainu the Baal Tosfos. The Das Kainu the Baal Tosfos says, L'fi shera'ohu zokin ma'od. Paro saw Yaakov was very old. Sa'oros rosho v'zikno levonos meiro v'zikno. The hair of his head, the hair of his beard, was white from his extraordinary age. Shaul came, so Zephri asked, who are no? And Yaakov answered, Yemei Megurai, the years of my wandering, Shloshim Mashonah, 130 years, Matvaroim, Kloma, that is saying, Ma'atim Eim Shnosa, I'm not all that old, I haven't had so many years. Elamitoch rosh shahoyuli, because of all the terrible things that happened to me, Kofet so alai zikno, old age has struck me. Says the Medrash, Vesho, Shomer Yaakov ma'at baroyim, hoyu. At the time when Yaakov said, my years have been few and evil, Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hashem said to him, Ani milaticha me'esau milov. Hang on. I saved you from Esau, I saved you from Lov. Hechzati lecha dina v'gam Yosef, I've given you back Dina, who was kidnapped, and Yosef, who was kidnapped and sold. Atom Misraim, al chayecho, shemat, you're complaining? Veroim, that your life has been short and bad? Chayecho by your life, minyan atevas shiyesh, min vayomer ad bimei megurai. The number of words in the pasuk from vayomer till yimei megurai, kach yafsu mishnosecho, you will lose from your life. Lo tichye tichay yitzchok avicha, you will not live as long as Yitzchok. Heim lamed gimel tevas. 33 words in the complaint. Minyanze nechseru, and according to this number, were removed from his life. Yitzchak chai kufpei shono. Yitzchak lived 180 years. Yaakov only lived 147. So, Yaakov lost 33 years for the complaint. Good. Okay. Now, one thing you have to do when you're given a number is go and check. The Medrash which the Baalei Tosfos quote starts from Vayomer. Let's start from the Vayomer in Posuk Tes. Vayomer Yaakov, I printed it out for you, there are 25 words. And the Medrash says 33. Where are the other eight? The other eight are in Posuk Ches. Vayomer Paro el Yaakov, kamo yemei shenei chayecho. Paro said to Yaakov, how old are you? Why is Yaakov being punished for what Paro said? According to this Medrash Chazal quoted in the Das Kain in the Baalei Tosfos, Yaakov loses 8 words for what Paro said and 25 for what he said. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik V'Yoshehu, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish him for what Paro said? Have a quick look at the last line or so of the Ramban. Ramban says, Mipnei Heyosom Royim Ba'omel V'Anocha, because Yaakov had such a hard time, Zarku Boseva V'Nirre, he looked old. So Reb Chaim said, Pshatim the Chazal, based on the Ramban, goes like this. If Yaakov Avinu, I mean, not for us to make judgments about Yaakov Avinu, or indeed any of the others, but if Yaakov Avinu had thought, Ma Yisonin Odom Chai Gever Al Chatov, together with the Pshat of Rashi, of the Chesed Agodol that HaKadosh Baruch has given me life, he wouldn't have looked as old as that. It was because of the fact that Yaakov Avinu thought of his years as Ma'at V'ro'im, that's why it is that he looked so terribly old. Why is it that Paro said to him, Kamo Yemei Shana, how old are you? Because he looked older than anyone whom Paro had ever seen. Ilule Shoyo Margish B'Tzorosov, had he not been Margish these things as Tzoros, Lo Yozikno Kofetzisolov. Yaakov Avinu, if one can say this, Yaakov Avinu, because he regarded these things as Tzoros, as Yisurim, that's why it is that he looked so old. And it's because he looked so old that Paro asked him, how old are you? And because of the fact that he did not upvalue Osher HaChaim in the way that is required of him, he lost some of it. If one does not understand the value of life, one runs the risk of some of that life being taken away. Let's do one more. The Pasuk says in Bereshis about Avraham Avinu after the war with the four and the five kings, Achar advarim ma'ela, after these things, Hayod var Hashem el Avraham, the word of Hashem came to Avraham, Bamachaze in a vision, Lema, saying, Al tira Avraham, Avraham, don't be afraid, Onochi mogein loch, I am your shield, Sechorecho harbe ma'od, your reward is very great. Now, if somebody comes to me and says, don't worry, it follows that I was worried about something. What was Avraham worried about? Secharcho harbe ma'od. Don't worry, you have a great reward. Ah, he was worried about his reward. What was he worried about? So there is a chazal. Rabbonon Amra, the Rabbonon say, Hoyo Avraham Avinu mispached. Avraham was frightened, but Omran said, Yeradti l'chiv shono esh v'nitzalti. I went down into the fiery furnace in the time of Nimrod. V'nitzalti, and I was saved. Yeradti l'milchemes ha'melochim, I went to fight against four kings who were so powerful that they defeated five kings. V'nitzalti, and I was saved. Tomar, perhaps one might say, shenis kabalti schori b'olam hazeh v'niklum lo'osid lovo. Perhaps I've already received my reward in this world. Perhaps the fact that I was saved from Kivshon HaEsh, the fact that I was saved from the kings, perhaps that's my schar, v'niklum lo'osid lovo, and I will not get any reward in the world to come. Al tira Avraham, don't be afraid. Schocha arbe ma'od. Amra kodesh baruchu, al tira, don't be afraid. Anochi mogein loch, I'm your shield. Chol ma sheosisi imoch b'olam hazeh, whatever I've done for you in this world, chinom osisi imoch. I did it, chinom, I did it for free. It doesn't come off your account. Your schar is waiting for you in Olam Haba. Schocha harbe ma'ol. Heich ma'adat amar, like the pasuk says, Morav tuvcha shetzofanto li'recha. How great is the good which you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have piled up for those who fear you. Now, hang on just a minute, says Reb Chaim. What are the two things that Avram says in this medrash? Avram says, I'm afraid, you know, I was saved from Kivshon HaEsh, and I'm still alive. I was saved from the Melochim, and I'm still alive. Perhaps that's my schar. Why did he go into Kivshon HaEsh? Standing up, Leman Hashem, as you correctly say, Leman Hashem, to destroy Avodah Zorah, you think that should be regarded as a nace that I've... Why is it that he went to war with the Melochim? Pikuach Nefesh, saving nephew Lot, not to mention all the other people in from stone whom he saved. Vayomer Melech Sdom el Avram, ten li ha-nefesh, baruch hushkacha, he saved all the inhabitants of stone. Though not, of course, for very long. That's a separate parasha. Okay, so what's he worried about? Because even if schar mitzvah b'hai al meleke, even if, like the Gemara in Kiddushin, we think you don't get schar for mitzvahs in this world, but as that Rashi says in Kiddushin, kol ha-chesed shani yose imo shenasati lo-chaim ve-lo-eit ve-isi olov miso. Perhaps the understanding of the Medrash is that the view of Avram or Vinu was that if I'm saved through a nace, even if it's, as you correctly say, I'm acting Leman Kiddush Hashem, as in the case of the Kivshon HaEsh, or even if you're acting Leman Pikuach Nefesh, as in the case of the War of the Medrash, but nevertheless, the chesed that he's given me life, that's everything. Same thing again, isn't it? That life is an infinite value. Life, even with Yisurei Eov, is better than death. Yosef, as the Mishnah says in Yoma, Yosef Masha Karosi Lifneim Kosav Kan. There's more on this, but we need to come to a conclusion. Like the Mialados, I suppose, if we have an Achrayas, we cannot put it on one side. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, even if we don't have an Achrayas, if we see something that requires that we act, we can't be a bystander. And as Reb Chaim understood from these Makoros that we have discussed, the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us life, no matter how difficult it may be, according to Reb Chaim's understanding, the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us life is more than anything else.
Thank you.